Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And I'm joined today by Heather, or with Heather, I should say. And Heather, she had a, you know, she had a big goal. She had her eyes set on bodybuilding. Like, that was her mission. That was what she, you know, just her passion was all about. And then obviously after her Lyme journey, it kind of all went away. And we hear these stories all too often about how our life just turns and shifts just sometimes overnight. And so here's another story that we're going to hear, and we're going to hear the amazing ending result as well. So excited to have you. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Hi, Tanya. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. We just need to have our voices heard. And so I appreciate you. So where do we want to start? You know, so many people have been sick for a random amount of years with random things, and then some others got a bite and knew right away. So how does your story start?
Well, my story, I would say, started, I'm pretty sure I had Lyme since I was a teenager. I did have knee swelling after I did running and aerobics. So that's just me looking back. I'm pretty sure I've had it for a long time. And most of my life, there was weird health things that would just kind of pop up here and there. Like every 2 or 3 years, there'd be something weird. And I'd go into the doctor and they couldn't explain what it was. You know, it'd go away. A few years later, it'd come back. But my Lyme crash really, really started probably about 2 to 3 years after my last bodybuilding contest, which was in 2010. Okay. And it was the exhaustion really started to hit, neurological issues, and gastrointestinal stuff was the first three main things that hit me. And it was so bad that I would just fall asleep randomly in my car when I was picking my kids up from school. I couldn't make it through a grocery store. I literally would take a nap in my car after trying to go through Costco. So I was like, okay, something's really bad has happened to me. Like, okay.
Something. I can't ignore this anymore, right?
No, you can't. Yeah. So like my body for sure said no. It just went to its limit. And there I was trying to figure out what was going on, started going to several different doctors. It took about 2 to 3 years and about five doctors, which is actually pretty good. I've heard a lot of other horror stories on this.
Yeah, not too bad, right? It should only take one or two, but yeah, five doctors in a couple of years is not bad at all.
Right? So, I mean, that's a blessing in disguise. I couldn't see it at the time for sure, but the first doctor was an MD I went to, enterologist, and the main thing they found was high Epstein-Barr. So the numbers were off the charts, which would explain the fatigue, right? The weird, right, random, just falling asleep and no energy, not able to even go through Costco and shop, right? So at least I had that piece of information, you know? And so from there, I decided that the last doctor I ended up with was a DO, so MD and a naturopathic doctor. And it was him I went to really to treat the Epstein-Barr, because that's all I thought I had, right? Hey, I've got mono. All right. I did intravenous ozone. Supposedly that helps with viral infections. And so a year of treatment for Epstein-Barr that didn't do anything for it.
Okay. That wasn't the root problem, right?
No, that was just the main thing that popped up for in my case. So he decided we better do some more testing. I've never had so much blood drawn in my life. It's like, are you a vampire? Am I going to live through this? I mean, and when the blood work came back, it was just overwhelming, to be honest with you, the stuff that was found. mycoplasma, low thyroid, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. I'm trying to think here. There's so much there. My immunity was really low. So the CD57 was a 48, which was really alarming. That's like AIDS and HIV stuff. So they tested me like six times for HIV. Just the emotional, you know, toll of that, just being tested right. for that. But he came back and he's like, I'm pretty sure you have Lyme disease. So that's the first time I heard, okay, what I have. I was ecstatic to have a diagnosis. Yes. Little did I know, this is not the diagnosis you want.
That's exact, pretty much the exact words I said. I was like jumping for joy, finally get a diagnosis. And then I look at what it is, because I actually thought it was only something dogs got. I know, I was so naive. And I'm looking about this and I'm like, ooh, could I have had anything but Lyme, right?
Yes. Yes. So then that started the pretty much 10-year journey. This wow. year it would be 10 years from the diagnosis with 2015.
Wow. So. And you know, what is so crazy about it is here you are, a bodybuilder, right? You've got to be super I hope to be healthy, again. You know, active, obviously. You're moving your body. You're probably fueling it with, you know, great diet and that kind of stuff. How does that happen to somebody that just our body shuts down and the pathogens take over? And so my thought has always been, and numerous doctors that I've had as guests on the show, we also, most of us believe that something ran you down, right? Emotional or physical trauma is what beat down your immunity and definitely. Allow the pathogens to take over. So can yes. we, of course, I want to get into your journey and what you did, but can we kind of just dive into that for a minute about, do you think something happened to you about that time of 2010? Did you start having kids? Mm-hmm. Did you have extra stress in your life? Did you have a car accident? Did you, I don't know, right?
Oh, I definitely know, Tanya.
Okay. Yes. Well, then I'm so glad I asked. Please share.
Well, I actually was in an abusive relationship with my kid's dad. So there was a domestic violence incident in 2009. And that really is what spurred me to do that contest in 2010. Okay. That's where I got a lot of my, I guess, motivation, if you will, to do that. And I didn't leave him for a couple of years afterwards. Okay. And so once I did finally leave, I did get remarried really quickly. There wasn't an affair, I promise you. But I got remarried to a wonderful man just in time for the Lyme crash. Literally just in time for it. So within 9 months of my new marriage, my health was crashing, basically. And I think it's because I finally let down, you know, that I don't know what you would call that.
You didn't have to stay in that fight or flight mode because you didn't have to walk on eggshells. When was the next incident going to take place? You know, now you have this loving husband who's embracing all aspects of you. And, you know, sorry if I'm going to put you on the spot because I don't know. I'm assuming you're still married to him.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yay. Years, actually. I'm like, do I really want to ask this? Yay.
No, right. You do. I mean, I tell you either way.
And I'm telling you what a man right there you've got in your husband, you know.
Oh, to stick with me through Lyme disease.
Yeah. Well, from the get-go, right? Crazy. Your line came out in your newlywed stage.
Yes.
Kudos to him. Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I wanted to leave myself during Lyme disease and he didn't leave me. It's amazing.
Wow. There are just incredible humans out there. Sometimes we, you know, got to kiss a lot of frogs to find them, but.
Oh my gosh.
So glad. So happy to hear that. So that sure was trauma, right? And I believe definitely. That once you got out of that and then your body was able to relaxed or your mind was, and then you're like, okay,
boom,
I can be me. Now it can be my turn, right? My turn for somebody to help me. So at this point, what were some of the symptoms you were having? Obviously, we know the fatigue, right? You know, so many people get either the neurological side of it or the pain from it. And
all of course,
I'm an overachiever, so I got it all, right?
Are you too
an overachiever too? Okay, great.
I couldn't get out of my bed. I was like, wait a minute.
Fatigue and pain.
The neurological stuff was just so bad. I mean, not just tinnitus, but like the peripheral neuropathy, you know what I mean? Your hands and feet. Not being able to stay awake was just, I'm like, I'm going to die. Do I have cancer? Do I, you know, what's going on here? There's just actually so much.
There is.
A laundry list, to be honest.
It really is.
Get some PTSD just talking about it.
Yeah. Sometimes when we look back on it, you know, sometimes just, you know, or having a guest on, it'll trigger something in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that part of my journey. Because it was like, a lot of times I can describe it as almost like the Groundhog Day, that movie, you know, where you wake up and it's just the same thing. And then you have that, you know, disassociation. You have that out of body. You have that. There's just so many levels.
Pros and cons to it.
Of this. Yeah. And so, is this really real? You know, I have to pinch myself. Am I really going through this? Is this, and then, cause you wake up and it's the same thing over again. And sometimes years can pass by and you don't even realize it.
Yeah. The symptoms just mostly oscillated. You know what I mean? They just did like a pattern, and then you'd have some grab bag things that would come in, cause it mimics the top 300 neurodegenerative diseases. So you'd have some grab bag stuff that would just come in randomly here and there that could be pretty scary. Like, I didn't know if I needed to go to the emergency room or not. You know, just random organs will just start swelling. You know what I mean? Like pancreas, different, just really weird stuff like that. Especially the gastro. I just remember, I'm pretty sure severe allergies were part of it. I didn't know it at the time, but my stomach would bloat out, and I would look about 5 or 6 months pregnant, and I was not pregnant. And I would pray for farts, okay?
Yes.
Because it just needed that's what was coming next.
You know that. Okay, here we go. Something that just popped into my head. Sorry to interrupt you.
Go for
it. I was, there were times I actually truly looked 9 months pregnant.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, at the time I was, you know, when I was in high school, I graduated high school, I weighed, I think, 98 pounds. So I've never been a big person, right? I am now. Lyme certainly changed that. But I really just looked pregnant. I'll never forget. Somebody asked when I was due.
And oh, it did? Stop did. It.
And
I wouldn't go in public when it was happening.
It just made me think, well, mine never went away for forever.
No.
And from that day forward, I promised myself, I don't care if they're walking into the hospital and I see them and they look 9 months pregnant.
You're not saying
that. They'll never say a word unless they're wearing one of those cute t-shirts that say, you know, something to point to the bed. Unless it's 100%, because I was devastated. The lady who asked me was devastated. And I was like, I promise you, it's okay. It's fine. And then I got the opportunity to explain what Lyme disease was and why I have a 9-month looking pregnant belly. Right. So, oh my gosh,
Lyme
I totally
awareness
forgot
moment.
About that until you said that. Yeah. Yeah.
As a fitness girl, that was devastating.
I'm sure.
I'm just like, what is my body doing? You have no control over it.
I'm sure. Oh, wow. Okay. So you find this doctor, a traditional doctor, and then also a naturopath, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. All these tests come back. Ding, ding, ding. You've got Lyme, all these co-infections. And then, so now where does it start? What was the game plan?
Well, I was very desperate. And so I just went along with the Western medicine approach. Okay, so he was recommending, I was on 7 different medications, I believe. Yeah, so it's like a thyroid. I did 2 different antibiotics for 6 months. Oh, that, I think tramadol for pain. That's a nasty one, right? And you can see my bias and in the way I talk about it, because I definitely would have changed this aspect of my healing journey for sure. Because I ended up in acute liver failure from the 7 medications.
Oh, wow.
So that was
we don't know what we really don't fun. Know, right? We don't know. So, wow.
Yep. It okay, was a big learning moment, I would say.
Let's talk it about was a that. Huge, so,
it's a huge learning moment for me, actually. I mean, I literally, it's prayer and meditation for me that I was able to find the Gerson's therapy, which is coffee enemas, to detox the liver. So, yeah, I made it a complete about change here. And so yes. I reversed it by myself. In 3 months' time, my liver enzymes were back to normal. So.
Wow. That is incredible. And that's one of the blessings of Lyme, right? Is mm-hmm. that so oh, yeah. many of us are focused on the traditional Western medicine, the pharmaceuticals, the pills, the all this stuff, right? And I'm not judging. I never want to judge anybody for anything because I did the same thing. I didn't know anything, right? I was on pain meds and antidepressants and anxiety meds and it's like it's just this whole host because we're so desperate we don't know what to do, right? And mm-hmm. and when we're desperate, sometimes it's easier to go with what we know, right? Than it is to yep. go with what we don't know. A coffee enema? Are you kidding me oh, right now? You know,
save
all
your life
this
by
stuff.
Putting that in your backside? What the heck?
Yeah,
no.
It's, yeah, I am right along with you. When I started at the treatment clinic and they're like, you got to do coffee enemas and or colonics. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
Are you kidding me right now? I'm like, okay, put me up because I'm all in. What I've been doing is not working, right? So let's yeah. completely reverse it. So, you know, and if any of the listeners are out there and you've heard about coffee enemas or you don't know about coffee enemas, you're interested in them, follow me on my Facebook page, Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. Email me, lymeandbeyondwithtanya@gmail.com. I'm happy to share how you do them, what you do, the whole protocol. They're very inexpensive. You only need distilled water and organic coffee, right? You can do them at home. We oftentimes need so many things that are either free, right, or mm-hmm. super affordable because this is not a cheap journey. So I'm always open for anybody who wants to reach out, question me, happy to share anything that we ever talk about on this show. That's why we do it, right? So now you're doing coffee enemas, right? And so once your liver shut down, is that, okay, well, actually, let me back up a little bit. How did the antibiotics make you feel? You did that 6 months, oh, right? And I'm assuming probably not good if your liver ended up shutting down.
Yeah, my body just went into complete rebellion over the medications. And my doctor was like, this is not normal. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously. Yeah. So he decided that I needed to do genetic testing. Okay. And so I actually had health insurance at the time. I don't anymore, can't afford it and do the natural treatments and stuff, you know. But we found so much on my genetic testing. I mean, I think all of us Lymies have the MTHFR, yeah. right? I call it the mofo gene because it is, you know, it is that.
It is. and you know,
difficult.
It's not, there's two different types of it, right? And mm-hmm. of course I had the one where you can't detox or methylate and stuff like that. And
did you have all four copies? Did you have all four?
No.
Okay.
So
I had two.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. I believe there's like two types, right?
Yeah.
And I had the one type and then one type has two copies of it.
Yeah.
So I had, I guess, I don't know, do we call it the better of the two, right?
Okay.
Not sure, but mine
so
was.
So could you still sweat? Could you still sweat? Because
no.
I could still sweat. Oh, no. Okay. We had different ones then.
No, I couldn't sweat.
Oh, man.
It was the whole, you know, struggle to detox and I couldn't.
Yes.
And in fact, it was, you know, we learned so much after the fact, right? So
yes.
In my early 30s, I, you know, was married, got pregnant. All I ever wanted to be was a mom. and I lost my baby in utero at 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And we never knew why. There was like no explanation for it.
Wow.
I believe years down the road, doing this genetic testing, trying to figure out that I had Lyme, I think it was that mutation, right? Because my body doesn't recognize folic acid, which you're supposed to take. So it can really affect you. My body doesn't know how to methylate things. So it was just, you know, one thing that I learned, sadly, way after the fact. But I am proud to say that myself, and I just had a Lyme friend reach out to me yesterday who also has the mutation, I have completely reversed it. And so
I love it.
So if any of the listeners are interested in that, please reach out to me. But sorry.
Oh, see, I know. Like to don't be. I love
sometimes.
It. Do it. It's your show, Tanya. Seriously.
Okay.
I'm just glad I can talk about this stuff.
Yeah. Well, people need to hear us, right? Because I promise we're not the only ones who went through this journey for sure.
Yeah. This is my first opportunity to really talk about it.
Well, I'm honored that I'm your first podcast you've ever been on. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
So you did the genetic testing. You have the mutation, probably all sorts of things going on, right?
Yeah, there was actually a laundry list there. There was one more worth mentioning. It's a pretty rare one. Ultra rapid metabolizer gene.
Oh, I
have all four copies of that one.
You are an overachiever.
Oh my gosh. So that one means when you take medications, my body jams it through my system fast. So I need a really small dose more frequently through the day. If I'm going to do medications, they don't make medications that like I'm able to take. In fact, most doctors don't even know about that genetic mutation.
Interesting. So being in the Lyme community, I hear, and it seems to be a lot more in the last couple of years, about how people can't tolerate certain herbs. They're too sensitive.
Could
this have anything to do with that?
Yes, I think it does. I can't take methylene blue. There's so many things, even on the natural side, that I'm not able to take because of that genetic piece. So it's very valuable that I know about it.
Will you say it more time what it was for the listeners?
Yeah, the ultra rapid metabolizer gene.
Okay.
Like we're talking like less than 2%. Less than 2% of the population has that. And here I am. I got it. Pretty sure that's why I had the liver failure. I'm pretty sure that why everything was so intense. It's probably behind my severe allergies, you know, that I had. I still have those. Okay. So in my remission, I do still have quite a bit of my allergies. They're reduced, but not completely gone. But probably that genetic piece.
Wow. Yeah. Lucky us. So, So now your liver shutting down, you're quitting the antibiotics, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Treat your body to get your liver back in order. And is that the first piece that you kind of did? Was, okay, my liver shutting down, let me hyper-focus on this, right? Or did you then switch over to an herbal treatment protocol? Or where did you go from there?
You know, I actually ended up moving to the state of Washington so I could have access to cannabis for my pain relief. To get closer to the Klinghart Clinic is where I ended up. That was my next piece of my journey, is to, you know, go to one of the top Lyme clinics and try and figure out the next pieces, because obviously what I was doing didn't work. Almost shut my liver down. So it's time for a whole new game plan, if you will.
Well, yes, Dr. Klinghart, he's one of my favorites. I share a couple different webinars that he's done on Facebook. Super brilliant man, right? I just adore and appreciate all these doctors that do treat us that are struggling with Lyme. Yeah, no, it's expensive. So you moved to Washington so you could do cannabis, and that was mostly for your pain, right? And did that help?
Yes, and to sleep. It helps. Okay. It helped me with sleep. Yeah. No, it was wonderful for pain relief. I mostly did the Rick Simpson oil, which is the ingested way, and only very occasionally for different neurological stuff I was dealing with would I actually like vape or smoke it, because it would get into your system in 15 seconds versus 2 hours for ingested. So.
Okay. So I'm sure I'm not the only one uneducated, right? So did you have to move to Washington? Because I know, you know, many states pot or marijuana or cannabis, you know, whatever you want to refer it to, is not legal. And so where you were living, it wasn't legal. And then in Washington, you were able to freely buy these oils and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Medical refugee, I guess you could call it, because it was 2016 is when I moved out here to Washington.
Okay. All right. Well, it's helped a lot of people. A lot of people swear by it. And, you know, it's a natural plant. So I'm all in. Go for it. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then were you able to attend Clean Hearts Center, or?
I only could afford to go for just shy of 2 months.
Okay.
And then I was doing his webinars for a few years after that. And then that's where, you know, I started to go into just cleaning up the toxins in my environment, my water, my food, you know, the organic, non-GMO, paleo diet. I worked the best for my body with like a little bit of carnivore in there, like as a refeed. I love a big, juicy ribeye steak once a week just to refeed. I can't afford it more than that. Otherwise, I'd be eating more often. But I mean, it just spiraled into like all things natural, you know what I mean? Making my own toothpaste, making my own laundry soap. I mean, fermenting cabbage for my probiotics. I mean, I was able to do stuff around my home at this point, right? I wasn't really functional to go out and about. There's not enough energy, you know. It's Lyme disease is like having a shock collar on you. You do a thing and then you're stuck in bed for about 5 days or more.
Quickly reminded, right, by that zapper. Yeah. Nope, can't do that.
Oh, yes. Yes. And so like with people, I would be like, if I'm out here doing something with you, you actually mean something to me. Okay. Because I'm going to be paying for this. I don't mean to make you feel guilty, but I'm going to be in bed for 5 days.
Okay. So Heather, I did a thing. Right. I'm so interested in making your own laundry soap and fermenting cabbage and all. Okay. So, you know, there's so many listeners out there that probably are, you know, they're stuck in bed, they're sick. They, like you, like me, we can't afford a treat. We don't know what to do. Yeah. We feel like we're going to die. And there really are so many things that you can work on at home. And, you know, a huge one is your mindset, meditation, tuning forks, vibrational therapy. So many things can, you know, work for us to heal the things we may not recognize right away, right? So we're not killing the Lyme, but you're boosting your body. There's always something you can do. So tell us, how did you learn all this? Did you go to the famous YouTube and check it out, or?
Okay, it's nothing grand like that, okay? It was motivated by my allergies, okay?
Okay.
That's very motivating, severe allergies. I am allergic to corn, okay, wheat, which is most likely the glyphosate, but okay, I have to avoid those foods, right? Soy was a culprit in there, sugar, of course, you know, processed sugar. But I found this gal's website, the Corn Allergy Gal website, and she did all the work for me. She has it all on there. And so,
That's amazing.
I wish I could say that I'm just an amazing person, but
out there. Well, you know what? You are, because you took the initiative to seek it out, right? And then to follow through and do it. And now you have a cleaner environment, because environment is so important. And it's a scary thought about the foods we eat that we think are good and they're not.
Yes.
You know, these laundry soaps that are disrupting our hormones. Like, there's just so
I have
much.
Dryer balls. I use dryer balls. I don't have the sheets because they're endocrine disruptors. Oh my gosh. The list, we could go for hours and hours, Tanya, talking about this.
We need a whole new show on that. Okay.
We could do another show just on that. Seriously.
Okay. So for the listeners out there, as always, I know I always remind you guys, the website that Heather went to, the Corn Lady, whichever it is, we are going to have it in the description of this episode. So you can seek it out, search it out, and learn everything that Heather learned. Thanks for sharing that so much. I appreciate it.
Because that one is really helpful. Anyone that has a severe allergy, especially to corn, I mean, this gal, she has got a whole protocol when she goes to the hospital. And it's like a book in itself that like you can take with you. So they'll probably judge you for bringing something like that, you know.
Of course. But we're used to being judged.
But she has it.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to fire. I'm not afraid to fire a doctor either. You know, if you're insulting me, if you're abusing me, and if you're not helping me in my journey, you are fired.
Yeah, it's being our own advocate, right? It comes with the territory for sure. Wow,
but she has so much on there, you guys. I mean, I spent months just trying to get through all of her stuff. There's that much there.
Awesome. Amazing. I so appreciate people that give back and share resources that they learn. And then I love learning things. You know, I still learn all the time. I learned this gene you talked about earlier. I learned now we can go on and, you know, this corn lady shares all this amazing stuff. Oh, so the resources are there, you guys. You just need to find it.
Okay, it's all out there.
Then, yeah. So back to our journey, right? So where were we at then? You do all these changes. You get your liver back up. See Kling Heart for a couple of months, and then you just start implementing things at home.
Yes. And that part of the journey, like I would go and get a few things here and there as I could afford them. You know, like I did have chelation therapy before I moved to Washington as well. Spent a lot of time in the IV rooms and stuff like that. But I would frequent and come back in and get to different Myers cocktails, intravenous ozone as I could afford it. But, you know, it really felt like there was just years of atrophy, if you will, mm-hmm. just not able to get past that 65%. I was about 65%, you know, better, if you will. I hate that word, actually. Yeah. The word better. And I just used it. But, you know,
so you're only 65%. That's not okay.
No, it was not okay. Yeah, I still.
So what did you do next?
Well, the next part of my journey ended up being to do with trauma. So that was really, I mean, that's fast forward to just like about 2 years ago is when I started the trauma journey, realizing that is a part of the puzzle. I do have childhood trauma. Then I have the domestic violence with my first husband. So that's a trauma. Lyme disease is also a trauma, even though I was still in that, not realizing it. And LymeDisease.org actually had an article recently I think it was this year, that talked about Lyme disease being like domestic violence, like being in an abusive relationship. They likened it to that. And I thought, wow. So I got round two. You know what I mean? So I really realized I had to unpack some emotional baggage here. It was time. So I started that journey. It was talk therapy with therapist, and I got EMDR. And, you know, my symptoms actually started to come back. I got POTS came back. It's really quite something to open. It's Pandora's box of your emotions, and you get to open the box, you know? And so it was difficult for the first 8 months. And then I found the therapy that actually brought me remission was right in the middle of my therapy. So, and that actually complements my trauma therapy, which, you know, I'm still doing trauma therapy. I'm trying to deal with the Lyme disease. There's a lot of trauma there. Now that, you know, 6 months in remission now, that's all popping its ugly head as well. I'm like, oh, there's some more trauma, you know. So the journey continues, you know, the emotional healing part.
Yeah. But wow. And that's, you know, I'm sorry you had to go through all that, right? But I truly think, like you said, it's part of the journey. It's, mm-hmm. You know, it's like peeling the layers of an onion. It's so many people mm-hmm. think, oh, I just need to kill and detox. But it really is your mind, body, and your soul that needs to heal from this. It's interesting that you brought up domestic violence as being a topic on LymeDisease.org because I've always kind of correlated it with the grieving process, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And because we grieve so many things throughout this journey, we grieve who we used to be. We grieve the relationships we lost. We grieve the money we've lost. We grieve so many things. And when you go through a grieving process, right? When you lose a loved one, you go through a grieving process. And you have to process through that in order to be able to acknowledge it and accept it and move on with a life without them in it. I truly believe Lyme disease is the same way. And so I love to hear that you went through that. And it was also interesting to hear that it is what kind of gave you a few steps backwards, right? Like, why are these things popping back up? And so had to have been kind of terrifying for you. How did you work through that part of it?
Oh, I mean, my husband, he helped with like some breathing technique, right? So box breathing came in. So, you know, inhale 4, hold 4, out 4, hold 4, do it again. So, I mean, I was like hyperventilating and you know, after an EMDR sessions can be very intense, like especially if you have blocked memories and then they come out and you don't remember it and all of a sudden, but your body remembers it, okay? And that is very intense, okay? It's not an easy thing. So, you know, there was a lot of tears, a lot of crying, a lot of box breathing. My husband was there to help guide me through it. You know, and I had 8 months of that before I discovered IHT, the intermittent hypoxia therapy. And once I got that, once I was able to start, that's more breathing, right?
I was going to ask you, share with more us breathing. What it is.
Okay, the IHT, which is what gave me my remission. Oh my gosh. Okay. There's so many technical parts to this. Okay. So IHT, intermittent hypoxia therapy. Hypoxia means without oxygen, reduced oxygen, right? Okay. So it is very similar to hyperbaric in the way that it oxygenates the body, like in the body tissues, like all the way down to your bone marrow. That's where your T fighter cells are made. So your immune system, it gets to the cartilage, it gets to all areas. So oxygen to the brain, literally everything, okay? And so, okay, so it's essentially, it's timed breath holding followed by hyperoxygen. And you use a high altitude trainer, like a hypoxitator machine, is how you get the reduced oxygen air through a breathing mask. So you do 3 to 5 minutes of reduced oxygen, followed by 4 minutes of full oxygen. And you repeat that 3 to 5 times. So a session could be like 30 minutes or 50 minutes long. So like in the beginning, it's only 30 minutes. Like for me, 3 dives, they call it, for 30 minutes. Okay, so my basic understanding of what IHT therapy is doing is it's boosting your mitochondrial health and function. So the oxygen oscillating pattern, it stimulates the good mitochondria and kills the dysfunctional mitochondria. So for me, like the most exciting part is it disrupts the Lyme bacteria's reproductive cycle. Okay. Wow. Which is, that's a big deal. Okay. Which explains why there'd be such a fast remission. You know what I mean? 6 months in is when I went into remission. So if you got that plus all the oxygen down there, stimulating your immune system, bringing it back, like resurrecting it, if you will. So by increasing the mitochondrial health, that in turn increases the oxygen levels in your tissues. So like I already said this, all the way down to the bone marrow, cartilage, et cetera. And we know that the Lyme loves to live in those areas. They hide in there. But they don't like oxygen. So therefore they die. So yes, there's herxing with this treatment. Okay.
There is. Okay.
So there's definitely herxing. So my first 3 months, that was some serious herxing. I don't know if anyone's done Rife, the Rife machine. Yeah. I did do a couple years of Rife machine after I moved to Washington. And so I would say the herxing is very similar to that, maybe even just a tiny bit more intense. But once it left. Herxing's gone. And then all the way, like full functionality of my body came back. Wow. Yeah. Pretty, interesting. Yeah. Yeah. The first 2 months. Interesting. Yes, yes. There's a lot to take in there.
Yeah. So you go to an establishment, I'm assuming, that does this.
No.
You did it at home?
I did it in my home. Yes.
Okay. So explain a little more. So you have an oxygen mask or something?
Yes. So I should explain. So I found this therapy from Dr. Mercola's article that he had last year, 2024 in January. And it was about hypoxia. And at the very end of that article, there was a book and I bought the book. So the book was called Undoing Lyme Disease, How to Make Your Mitochondria Fight Lyme Borrelis by Surfing Oxygen Waves. So it's by Arkady Prokopov. And so I get the book, takes a couple weeks to get it. I read the book and my husband and I decided, let's reach out to him and see, you know, where we can find a place to go. Where, what, how do I do this therapy? And so to my surprise, like he emailed back and Facebook messengered back and he was willing, well, he wanted me to tell me my story. And then he's like, okay, I actually got him as a coach. So like an online coach. He told me where to buy my machine and how to set it up, how to use it, and then put me through his Lyme protocol. So right out of my house, which is right up my alley, Tanya. I like to do stuff out of my house.
Oh, gosh, you are just a go-getter, right? You search out. See, this is fantastic because we're desperate in this journey, right? Yes, we don't know what to do. This is not my wheelhouse. You know, the medical world is not my wheelhouse. If you want to sue someone, sign me up. I know how to do it, right? But when it comes to your health, I'm like, we don't know. And so here you are. You search out the corn lady. You find all this information, make your own products. You search out, you know, I mean, that's kind of a shot in the dark to send a Facebook message to a doctor, right? And actually expect a response. Bless him for responding to you on that.
Oh, I know.
And that is incredible. That is incredible. Yes. And I'm assuming it's a modality that you have at home now that you can just do regularly periodically? Or
I do it every other day right now. So I've worked myself up. Like in the beginning, it was like only every 10 days because you have to wait till the herxing is over before you do another one. And you just gradually like increase it. You know, it was every third day, then every fifth day. Every fifth day, then every third day. And then now I'm every other day. And there's so much more to the benefits of it than, you know, just undoing Lyme disease. There's longevity, anti-aging. And I don't know about you, but after 10 plus years with Lyme disease, I need that. And I want to be back in the gym. I am in the gym, you know, I want to do a show again, maybe at some point. I don't know. It's not the most healthy sport, but like the contest isn't, but you know what I mean?
Yes. No, I absolutely hear you. And it's just an amazing feeling to truly just get our life back. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that you were talking about this oxygen thing, because I, had somebody reach out to me, and of course I don't have the notes in front of me. Mm-hmm. So for the listeners, he's going to be an upcoming guest in the next few weeks. And we're going to talk about, I'm not even going to get the name right, I'm sure. Exercise with oxygen therapy or something like that. Exercise with EWOT. Yeah. Exercise with oxygen. Yes. EWOT. Okay. I got
it. It's probably in the same area as what I'm doing. Yeah.
I've heard a little bit about it. And so same type of thing. He discovered this thing from a doctor and kind of took over with it. So interesting how, you know, you don't hear about anything. All of a sudden I hear about it from everyone. So we're going to have a show in a few weeks talking about some type of other oxygen therapy that's available.
That's crazy. So oxygenate the body, you know, there's something about getting oxygen to your brain, to your body and all of its cells. Everything turns back on. Like it turns back on. I'm fully functional, back in the gym, about 5 months back in the gym. And I've already got a 225 pound deadlift and 135 pound bench press. So and I know I'm being kind of ego here, but that's very exciting.
You have the right to be. Okay. You earned the right to be 100%.
So
happy for you. Oh, that's just amazing. And I mean, talk about a fighter and a story of resilience, right? Like you knew you could only afford Kling Hearts Clinic for a couple of months. You did what you could, right? You had to step back, but you didn't give up. You kept being persistent, and that's not what
option.
You have to be in this journey if you want to beat it. You can, and it doesn't have to cost you a fortune if you don't have the fortune to spend, right? That's not what we want to spend our hard-earned money on, and there are just so many resources out there. Get creative, get curious, do your homework, right? Yeah. Do your homework and figure out what will work for you. Wow, what an incredible journey, Heather. I just love everything that you shared, and I'm just truly over the moon that you know, I know I'm the only one that can see you. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
You obviously are fantastic, and just so happy that you got your life back. And I just love it. I just love it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me and sharing your story. And of course, once again, listeners, all the main things we touched on, the book, all of that, The Corn Lady, we will put that information in the description of this episode so you guys can do your own research, right? Be your own advocate, do your own research. Yes, of course, listen to outside others, but it's your body. Do what's right for you. Find what works for you. Heather, truly thank you for joining me. I so appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure, Tanya. Thank you for having me.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.